Good morning again to our Lake Burien family and to our friends. I hope you had a good first week of the Easter season. This morning's message is going to be a little bit different than what we have been doing in the last several weeks. We're trying out different ways to dig into God's word and what God might be saying to us together. This is a time for us to try and to risk and to innovate. And I'm thankful for a congregation that's giving us the freedom to do that, and to a group of people, to our staff that are so amazingly gifted and talented. I'm excited today to share this message, this sermon time, with Michael Wan, who, if you haven't met Michael yet, Michael leads our youth ministries programming, both here at Lake B and also in the community and right around our own neighborhood. He has spent time working with Highline High School young people and also at Cascade Middle School in White Center. He's a big part of a lot of the organizing efforts that are happening here with our community partners. Michael and his partner Megan have been a gift to our congregation in the almost 2 years that they've been here with us. I'll be taking the first several minutes to talk about the passage that we are reading from today, John 20. And then at the end, Michael will join us to do what many have come to realize is a gift of his, to help us make meaning of God's word to us as people of faith. I'm excited to hear from Michael and thankful that he is joining us today. I really think that the last 7 weeks of our Lenten journey will probably go down as the most memorable Lent that any of us have ever had. February 26th was Ash Wednesday, and in fact, Michael preached that sermon. And 10 days later, we were in quarantine. That was 43 days ago. This will always be referred to as a season of time that the whole world experienced something together. A season of great sorrow marked by death and disease and devastation. A season marked by fear and anxiety and frustration. A season marked by quarantines, the potential economic catastrophe. We aren't quite sure yet about how long the season will last, but we hope that it ends soon. We hope and pray that it ends soon. Before COVID, we here at Lake Burien had been in another season of sorts, a season to uncover or discover or recover what it means to be people following Jesus in authentic and truthful ways. We have been in that question really since late November. The Lenten season that we just finished was a continuation of that theme, if you will, entitled Wilderness Discipleship. Basically, how our discipleship and our following of Christ is formed and shaped in the wilderness. And who knew that wilderness would come upon us without warning 43 days ago. On Easter Sunday morning, resurrection morning last week, we were challenged with the question of where we might find hope of the resurrection in the midst of joy and fear. Where is the newness of life that God is bringing to us this season? Resurrection is the movement from death to life and newness. It includes new ways of seeing the world, new ways of seeing each other, seeing our own lives, new ways of seeing the church, new ways of being and acting and loving and relating to people, new ways of understanding our community and what it means to be in community with other people, and to all the ways that our communities function and live together. What do I mean by that? Jesus' resurrection isn't only limited to mine or your personal experience of transformation. Jesus's death and life and resurrection also speaks to the hope and transformation for the ways that we function and live together as a community of people. It isn't just life in all of its fullness for the individual. The vision of transformation includes a vision for wholeness and shalom for all people everywhere and for the community that we share together. For the next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to be in this season that the church calendar calls Eastertide. In this Eastertide season, we're going to be considering what I'm calling Eastering, defined as staying in the practice of noticing and proclaiming and living and celebrating new life. That seems to be a little bit of a disconnect, kind of paradoxical, because as we all know, that most of us right now are living in a time of great question. There's some confusion, fear at times, anxiety. It's a mixed bag of anticipating joy at some point and hope at some point when this ends, along with a growing sense of weariness in all of us. I don't know about you, but I think that God is calling us to actually continue to be Easter people and to look for newness, even in that messiness, that what Christian Page called the messy intersections of life. This is where we are. We are at that intersection, and the call to be Easter people is to look for new life in that intersection. The text for today comes from John 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." I'm wondering, actually, when Jesus is saying, "Peace be with you," if the disciples were able to recall that in the discourse that was happening in the five previous chapters or so, that Jesus actually was at that time in his pastoral discourse with his disciples, praying and speaking over them words of comfort. He talked about peace quite a bit. "My peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you, that you will be with me and I will give you peace, that peace will be present with you." This was a lot of the general tenor of Jesus's words in those last moments with his disciple. And so it doesn't seem to me that when Jesus shows up here in the room that the disciples actually remembered those words. They were huddled in the corner with the door locked, and they were afraid. And so when Jesus comes into the room, the first word that he says is peace. "Peace be with you." And I wonder if anywhere that was resonant with them. Jesus picked up that message of peace. "Be with you. In fact, I am with you." A few things that I think that are worth noting. I love the fact that Jesus went right back to his friends, the people with whom he had spent life with every day with the previous 3 years. Jesus went right back to that community where he had invested his time, where they shared life together, meals together, and lots of laughs, where they witnessed healing and teaching, where they took part in those moments of feeding 5,000 people and they saw the provision come, where they were in moments of Jesus's teaching, they were in moments with Jesus while he was teaching in the synagogue, and yes, where they were witnesses to Lazarus coming out of the tomb. They were there for all of that. And sadly, this community, these same people, were also the same group of people, the same community that fell silent. This is the community that abandoned Jesus in his moment of need. And Jesus shows up more gracious than I think we can possibly imagine and speaks peace to their fear. It boggles my mind of all the things that Jesus could have said in that moment, all of the other first words that could have been justified for sure. There could have been a strong teaching about what they missed and how could they have missed it after all the time that they had spent together. Like one of those "how could you" messages. A heartfelt, honest truth-telling, that could have been part of it too, about his disappointment and hurt. But as far as I can tell, Jesus didn't do any of that. Again, his first word to them is peace. "It's me. Here I am. I am with you in the confusion and the fear." God is with us too, in this not knowing and uncertainty of our times. There is no judgment. None of the would-haves or could-haves or should-haves were a part of Jesus' words there. The very next phrase says this: "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Even now, even in your fear, even in your inability to trust my words, even in your betrayal and leaving me when I needed you most, you are included in this ministry of transformation. In that one sentence, Jesus was reinstating and reaffirming and reminding and remembering them to himself and to one another. The one last thing that I want to lift up for us to consider this morning is this. After that commissioning, after Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, the scripture says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and essentially says, go now and be about forgiveness. Give it, proclaim it, and release it. That was a beautiful image for me to think about, that Jesus was involving the community of friends in the work of forgiveness. That sounds familiar to me. When Jesus, it reminds me of when Jesus involved the community in the unbinding of Lazarus. The community became an intimate part of the story of transformation of someone from life to death. And here Jesus is doing the same thing. Jesus is involving the community of disciples that day to proclaim life and mercy and forgiveness, empowering them, empowering us to be part of the redemptive work in the world. God here is sharing his power so that you and I are able to do the same. Unfortunately, sometimes that flow of power gets bottlenecked when it comes to us. We want to hold on to it. We want to make others earn it. Only people who work hard enough can get it. We build processes for people to attain it. We make people jump through hoops. And then maybe, just maybe, we'll share some of what we have. The Eastering moment, the death to life movement of God, is to release and to empower us to do the same as God has done here, to go and to share. There is no scarcity to God's grace and mercy. The power of community is being together in this moment. They are empowered to be witnesses and part of God's healing and mercy and forgiveness, the ones who are able to speak simple blessings of peace. So is this messy? Yes, I think so. Because new life, resurrected life, infers that something has been put to death in us. Old ways of being, old ways of acting. And that is not only messy, it's scary. But this passage reminds us not to fear. God is with us in it. God sent Jesus. Jesus is sending us to be present and close to those who suffer as God was and God is, to release power and peace and forgiveness so that all may experience the freeing good news. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you all are safe and healthy and surrounded by ones you love and the ones who love you well, whether that be in person or over FaceTime, Zoom call, text message, email, etc. Thank you, Pastor Lena, for giving me the opportunity to share what will be a brief reflection about the word you just shared with us. As I sit and reflect upon this language that Pastor Lena is urging us to press into, this language of new life, I cannot help but think about all of the women I know who are pregnant at this time, individuals who are quite literally holding new life within their own bodies. One of the women I know personally that is currently pregnant is my sister. All of this talk about new life led me to call her and ask what her experience has been as one that is carrying new life in such a time as this. A time of unease, of distress, of deep social anxiety, and even death. With this being her second pregnancy, she shared with me the familiar, complex emotions she is feeling. Feelings of worry and stress, but also feelings of excitement and anticipation. Yet with our current circumstances, these feelings are felt all the more acutely. In talking about the range of emotions she has felt in the past month, she went on to share feelings of frustration. Being frustrated because she knew she could not go out and be as mobile and self-roaming as others for fear of exposing herself to the virus. Frustrated because she knew that she had to put extra thought into every small decision she made. What was clearly communicated to me in our conversation was her keen and unceasing awareness of the new life inside of her. Our conversation ended with me asking the question, when you hear the phrase, stepping into new life, what do you think? Her response was said plainly, but her words were theologically profound. She said, "Easter Sunday is but one moment where God is inviting us into newness. But the reality is that in every day, in every moment, God is offering a moment of renewal, a new opportunity for rebirth." When I reflect on my sister's words, I think about what Pastor Lena highlighted when speaking about Jesus' interactions with the disciples, that Jesus did not condemn them for their silence and abandonment, but rather Jesus sends them to do the work of forgiving and showing mercy to the world, not saying a word about the ways they did not show up for him in his darkest hour. In the same ways that Jesus is, in a sense, born again from the tomb, Jesus is offering the disciples a moment of renewal, or rather rebirth, with this invitation. The failure of the disciples does not discount them from being a part of God's work in the world. In fact, it is their very limitedness that makes their participation that much more powerful. God chooses those who succumb to feelings of despair. God chooses those who shrink back in times of uncertainty. God chooses those who find themselves torn between a promise and a harsh reality. God chooses us. Be encouraged, Lake B. God is not waiting for us to get our stuff together. God is not waiting for us to muster up courage and rid ourselves of all fear. No, God is simply asking us to respond to the reality of new life and will always be in front of us. In the ways that an expecting mother is required to be vigilant in her awareness that life is carried inside of her, especially in a time where good health is promised to no one, may we too become more deeply aware of the new things God is calling us into. Opportunities for renewal, opportunities for rebirth. Each week for the next 6 weeks, we are going to leave you with two calls to action, reflection, or response. And here are the invitations for this week. 1. Identify a place or person you can bless, something not easy, with your words, your presence, your resources. As a community that professes a belief in the new life Christ brings, believe that we also have the capacity to speak and or bring newness into the life of another. And 2, what is one reflective practice you can do this upcoming week to remind yourself that even in places of anxiety, worry, or despair, God is birthing new life? Perhaps this could look like journaling, or listening to your favorite song, or going for a brief walk.
Thank you, Michael. Receive this benediction. Beloved children of God, may we find peace in these words, "Christ is risen indeed," and may they resonate deeply within us each day. May we experience the resurrected Christ revealed to us in new ways in this Easter season. And may we continue to walk with Christ into resurrection, into new life, even when we're unsure of what it looks like. In the name of the Father who was for us, and the resurrected Christ who is with us, and the Spirit who empowers us to be resurrection people each day. Amen.